everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And this week we're going to be talking about the FA Cup. It's the second round on Sunday. Marine taking on Havant and Waterlooville, and we'll be joined by manager Neil Young shortly. We're also going to be talking about the last 48 hours or so in the world of non-league football, and we're going to be joined by Thomas Feeney, non-league reporter from the other side of the Pennines, as well as board member from FC United Adrian Seddon, to discuss what next and where step three and step four non-league football goes from here. And we'll be discussing that later. But before that, let's talk about the good stuff, and let's talk about the FA Cup. The second round takes place on Sunday, and joining me now down the other end of the phone, we should be joined by the welcome return of manager at Marine. It's a welcome back to the show to Neil Young. Well, Neil, a big thank you for joining us. And you obviously spoke to us a couple of weeks ago. You've been training ever since. So how's the last couple of weeks been preparing for this weekend?
Yeah, we've been training as we would normally in terms of twice a week, and we've had a couple of friendlies, you know, in that period as well, which has been good. It's not as competitive, obviously, it's a competitive game, but it's as close as what you're going to get in these times at the moment. So, yeah, training's gone really well. We've had a few niggles and knocks, hopefully by, you know, tomorrow and into Sunday, that everyone will be fit and learning to go.
And with regards to, you know, how you keep everyone match fit, like you say, you have the friendlies and that kind of thing. But, I mean, how challenging is it to keep everyone, you know, at 100% ready for a proper competitive game that's coming up this weekend?
It's a challenge, but you can only mitigate on what you can do, you know, in terms of arranging friendlies, you know, arranging training as we would normally, asking the lads to look after themselves. I'm a big believer in only dealing with what you can deal with. You know, it's not worth me worrying about the stuff that I can't do anything about. So we've had a plan in place, obviously, since the game at Colchester, in terms of training. We give the lads a few days off after the game. And then we've been full pelt since, couple of friendlies in there. Yes, it's not as competitive as match sharpness, but it's 3 or 4 weeks. Majority of them are young lads. You know, some of them are training with their full-time clubs in Mo and Alex. So we're best prepared as we can in the circumstances, and I'm sure, you know, if you look at Havant, they've had two games recently called off through COVID in the opposition dressing room. So everyone's got challenging times at this moment.
Obviously, I think you would have liked to have seen Havant and Waterlooville in the flesh, wouldn't you, I'd imagine, or send scouts down there. But I'm assuming you've done your homework.
Yeah, we've got plenty of footage of them. That's the beauty of streaming, really. It's easier to actually stream than actually go to the game. Because obviously of where it is in terms of where we are in terms of geography. So yeah, we've had the streams, and we've watched their games, and we've watched the last tie in the FA Cup. So yeah, we're as prepared as we can be. We've got a bit of work to do still in terms of our own shape and reinforcing things that we've gone through in training. But yeah, it's almost there, and we're looking forward to it.
And with regards to, you know, what this means for the club, obviously I think it's a long time since they got through to the third round, early 90s, wasn't it? So, you know, it's going to be a very historic occasion, this. I mean, how are you dealing with that and keeping everyone's feet on the ground in the club?
I think at the moment we haven't got time to not have our feet in the ground. In fact, there's that much media coverage and people, interviews and everything. It's fantastic for our football club, you know, and I think it's taken a few people at the club back a little bit in terms of the amount of media coverage that we've had and the changes we've had to make to the ground to get it okay for the cameras. But I think everyone, although it's tiring, you know, I said to them, you know, you've got to embrace it. It doesn't always happen. As you said, the last time we were in this position, potentially, was back in the 90s. And I think they are enjoying it, but it is, it is tiring. And as you know, most of us, it's our part-time role. So, you know, it's trying to juggle family, work, football, and the media attention. But, you know, we wouldn't have it any other way if we weren't doing as well as what we had done. Nobody'd be interested in us. So it's good that everyone's, you know, involved.
And it's pretty surreal stuff. I mean, it's surreal stuff anyway, a non-league club getting through to the second round of the FA Cup to begin with, the TV cameras being there, but also the fact there's going to be no fans there. So, I mean, it's really odd this year, isn't it, really?
It's very odd, yeah. I mean, that's the bad part of this, is the fact that the fans haven't been able to be at Chester or Colchester. And now, obviously, in the Havant game at home. So, yeah, that's the negative part. But, it's, you know, there's bigger issues out there at the moment. You know, obviously in the world, but also in non-league football, you know, in terms of clubs trying to keep afloat financially. So, we've done well. And hopefully we'll be able to fly the flag once again, you know, for non-league football or particularly at our level.
Yes, I'll get back to the good stuff in a second or two, but was just a quick question with regards to what's going on with the world of football at the minute, and in particular non-league football. Since we last spoke, we've done a little switcheroo, because where I am, I'm now in Tier 3, you're now in Tier 2. Most of the league are in Tier 3. The clubhouse there at Marine, I've been there on a match day. It's a hive of activity in normal circumstances. It's just not plausible, is it, even for a Tier 2 club to be performing at the moment?
No, it's certainly not. You know, it's, as you said earlier, you know, it's a big part of our match day revenue is obviously the club rooms, the revenue that brings in, obviously the supporters. You know, we were grateful that we could have some supporters in before this lockdown. But again, that was nowhere near what we would normally get. And I'm sure that's the same, you know, throughout non-league football. It's a bit concerning that what came out yesterday and the bits around Tier 3, because last time with Tier 3, I think it was advised that he didn't have fans in, but it was okay if you could, in most regions, depending on the city councils, if, you know, you could prove your protocols were working. But, you know, teams at our level can't exist, you know, without fans coming through the gate. It's as simple as that. You know, we don't have, you know, backers. It's match day revenue is what keeps these clubs going. So I believe there's a meeting this weekend. Hopefully we'll have a clearer picture. But it is a little bit worrying because, again, what people aren't taking into consideration, you know, we're a bit different with us playing in the FA Cup. But a lot of these lads in other clubs, you know, have not now played for a month, you know, and if you're asking them to sit off for another month, it's virtually the same as, you know, finishing the season and coming back to pre-season. So you've got to look at that as well. And then you've got the weather, you know, that hasn't really kicked in yet. You know, we're in November. We've not really had it cold at the moment, end of November. So there's a lot of things to consider. And, you know, I know us, we've got 33, I think, league games left. Plus, obviously, we've got the FA Cup game on Sunday. And then we've got another FA Trophy game in midweek in a couple of weeks if that goes ahead. So there's a lot of thinking to do, and there's got to be a way forward somehow, because what we can't do is just walk away and say, oh, we're not, you know, there's no football, because, as you said earlier, you know, there's a lot of hard work gone into non-league, and particularly at our level.
Like you touched upon there, 33 games to play. I mean, I'm feeling panicky thinking about it, and I'm not playing in those games or organising the teams or anything like that. There needs to be a way through this, doesn't there, if we're going to get the season finished on time?
I think it does, but I think there's that many mixed messages around, you know, the tiering system and who can't have fans. And at the end of the day, however we do it, we must have supporters in the ground, and teams at our level must have supporters in the ground. So it's very difficult without that. So I'm sure the leagues and the FA are a little bit under pressure themselves, because they don't know what's coming. From a tiering perspective, nobody knows what's coming, who can and can't go anywhere, you know what I mean? So it just becomes very confusing, and it's very difficult to preempt any decisions that you can make.
Yeah, unfortunately. But the good news is, with regards to yourselves, you can just keep on playing, can't you? Because, you know, we're going to catch up in a couple of weeks' time about the third round, and then the fourth, yeah, and then so on and so forth. I'm very thankful for you, Neil, and Maureen, because you're keeping the show afloat at the minute.
Keep going.
Single-handedly. So, I mean, back to the FA Cup on Sunday. You know, what's your final message to the fans who are all going to be watching at home, who will all be cheering you on? What's your message to everyone for Sunday?
Yeah, well, I think the main thing is, you know, we'll be trying our best, you know, as we have done and all around. The lads won't let anyone down. We'll keep going. We miss the fans, obviously, within the ground. All I can say is that we'll be trying our best and trying to win the game. You know, the third round is the massive, massive part of this competition. And if we could get there, it'd be absolutely fantastic for our football club. And, you know, as I say, we'll be doing everything we can to do it. But I'm sure Havant will be as well.
Manager of Marine, Neil Young, there joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. And a big good luck to Marine on Sunday afternoon. A match which I'm right in saying is going to be on BT Sport. I've not made that up. Thomas Feeney's with us now. Thomas, your first question. It is on BT Sport, isn't it? I've not made that up.
I'm pretty sure it is, yeah.
Good, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it is.
So, look out for that one on Sunday afternoon. And we'll be catching up with Neil for the third round draw next week. But Thomas, a big welcome to the show. Thomas Feeney joins us now, non-league reporter from the other side of the Pennines. Hello, Thomas, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Yeah, it's certainly been an interesting week, I think we can say that.
Now, before we get into the interesting week, just a quick fixture preview, because we know we get you on for fixture preview. Just one fixture this weekend. How are Marine going to do?
I mean, it's a tough one, and it really is a tough one, and obviously you're in that thing of no competitive games for how many weeks, obviously, since that fantastic win against Colchester. having at Waterlooville as well, it's a really tough game because you're basically facing a manager who has that record. Obviously, at Sutton United, you know, to beat Leeds United, if they faced Arsenal, and they've got some really good players as well, like Sam Magri, who I was stunned that he actually went down to the National League South level. I thought he would have stayed at National League. So it's going to be a tough one. But do you know what? It's Marine showed what they're about in that last round. And you've got to say, it's the magic of the cup, isn't it? There's always them stories. And hopefully, I'll be keeping my fingers crossed that Neil Young's side are able to do it.
Yes, absolutely. Big good luck to everyone at Marine on Sunday afternoon. Right. Thomas, we've got you on not just for fixture preview duties, but also it's been an eventful 48 hours. We're going to be joined by Adrian Seddon, board member at FC United, shortly to outline what's going to be happening over this weekend. But there is a crunch meeting on Saturday, not just involving the Northern Premier League, but the Southern League and the Isthmian League, talking with the FA about where we go next. Just for those people who've been living in a cave, keeping themselves off social media, where are we at the moment? What's brought all this on?
Well, it's been a really interesting week, and it all started on Monday where this announcement that there'd be, you know, up to 4,000 fans. Obviously, that's not the case for nearly everywhere. I think, you know, tier 1, 2 and 3, but nearly everywhere is tier 2 at the absolute least. And what happened was, it was really interesting. I asked the question, well, does tier three affect non-league teams who are non-elite? Obviously, the National League North and National League South are in that elite status, and that's the case. Tier three will be behind closed doors. So, but there will be further meetings that happen during the week. Obviously, those meetings then took place leading into the meeting on Thursday night between Step 5 and 6 league representatives and an FA representative. And kind of the news was dropped just what is going to be happening in the next few weeks. Obviously, there will be a review of tiers 1, 2, and 3 that'll take place on December the 16th. And this is for the opening few weeks. But basically, the implications are, you know, pretty severe. And that is for tier 3, which is a majority of clubs. Obviously, you know, Northern Premier League, it affects a lot. Is the advice and the implication is that no fans are allowed at those tier 3 games. In tier 2, in terms of hospitality, there's absolutely huge regulations. One of them as well, takeaways are not allowed to be consumed within the stadium. So
yes.
If you buy, I don't know, you buy a can of something and some chips, you cannot have them at the ground. You have to physically leave the ground to consume the item. And again, you know, for some clubs that are tier 2, that was the thing where it was like, hang on a minute, financially our clubhouse is kind of the most profitable bit, and there is nobody that is going to go into a game of football, go, oh, I fancy a drink, right, I will now leave the ground to drink my drink and then go back into the ground to watch the game after missing 15 minutes while I had the drink. So again, things like that where you kind of left scratching your head a little bit. And then finally, the news broke that the DCMS funding, which had been announced last Thursday, which was £14 million for Steps 3 to 6. I mean, I put this at the time and got people going, oh, don't be such a killjoy. But it's kind of that thing of, well, is it going to be a grant or is it going to be a loan? And it's turned out that a lot of it is going to be a substantial amount, is going to be a loan. It's going to be low interest loans, but still a loan. So obviously, you know, there are clubs here that are going to be thinking, well, you're going to be giving me X amount, but I'm going to have to pay X amount back, maybe with a little bit added as well. So all in all, not the most positive of meetings. And obviously already there are leagues that are Step 5 and 6 that have said, right, until December the 16th, we will not be playing.
And at the same time, I mean, we'll unpack all this in a second because there is a lot to unpack, isn't there? But at the same time, the FA basically said the VARs and the trophy, they want to continue. Those trophy matches and VARs matches happen in the next fortnight, don't they? So, I mean, this is a mess, isn't it?
Well, I think the thing is already there's, you know, I spoke to one manager who, you know, basically said, right, we have not played for a month. We've not trained for a month. We've then got one game in the VARs. which we will play after one. I don't think they'll have had a training session either, but no, they will have had, they'll have had one training session. They'll then play that Vars game, and then they are set to not play again for another 2.5 weeks. And then obviously, you know, in the trophy, that's going to be the same for clubs if the meetings go the way that you'd presume they would tomorrow. And it's kind of just, you know, you are just left scratching your head really as to what is going on here and what is going to happen.
It's expectation management, because on Monday I remember watching Sky Sports News and the fanfare given about, oh, 4,000 fans are going to be allowed back in, but nearly no clubs are in Tier 1 to allow that to happen. It's baffling that we've got to this stage, isn't it? I mean, it's been terribly handled communication-wise.
Well, I think it's one of those as well, like even the meeting last night, things started to spread. But, you know, I to be honest with you, I'd been told stuff and waited until a leak kind of just went, look, this is what's happened, because what you find immediately is you've got players, managers messaging going, is this true? Is this correct? You know, because the implications are massive. And again, it's this thing that this notion that, oh, well, football is awash with money. Football, you know, all football has so much money. That the reality is, in non-league, I know firsthand with some clubs just how much hard work has gone in to keep these clubs afloat. You know, never mind building a squad or trying to be competitive, just keeping the clubs going and to be in a position where I think the real kicker for a lot was the thing that this money all of a sudden has gone from a grant to a loan, because the wording of it was that, you know, this implication was that teams were expecting a lot of this money to be a grant and a bit to be a loan. And obviously it's the other way around. And again, it's this communication of that the FA have got to be advised by DCMS. DCMS have got to be advised by other people within the government. And it kind of is this trickle down effect that, you know, you're getting to the point where leagues are going, yes, well, as you already know, this is what's happening. And then clubs are basically communicating to fans, well, you know, as you'll have seen from 6 or 7 different sources, this is what's happening. And again, it's the timescale of it that it's not that long to go until we're in a position where the restart dates, if you would, were meant to be starting. And it's kind of just, it's what's happened is, said this off air, that you're kind of back to square one where you were how many months ago when it all started. It kind of has seemingly happened again.
Yeah, off air, I basically likened it to customer service, where you've got a problem and you're in customer service. It takes you a while, but in the end, you work together and you get to a solution and you go, yes, and you both go on your merry way. And then a week later, the same problem occurs again. You're in customer service up and they've got no idea who you are and you have to start the whole conversation again. Just to say, based on a source that I've got, I've not checked this, but I'm assuming it's correct because I trust the source, only 3 clubs at step 3 and 4 fall into tier 1, and those all are in the south. Everyone else in tier 2 or in tier 3. And when it comes to the Northern Premier League, 16 clubs fall in tier 2. The rest are all in tier 3. And that's, you know, 16 out of 61 clubs in tier 2, the rest in tier 3. That's a sizeable impact. And I'm going to suggest it is disproportionately affecting the Northern Premier League as well. And therefore, this meeting tomorrow, how do we get round this? Because there's no chance clubs can play behind closed doors, take a loan, and then have no way of paying that back. And there's no way, just to talk about the Tier 2 clubs, they can play with a crowd, but they can't operate with no bar facilities or no catering facilities. So it's just, there's no way around this. There's got to be a solution, or the recommence of the season is going to have to be put back.
Yeah, and that's what I put. I put that last night. I can't see it being in a position where, you know, you're going into these games thinking, right, how much are we going to lose today? I just don't think that can be a solution. And I think waiting until the reclassifications are put forward. The thing is, obviously, you know, the reclassifications December the 16th, it does not mean that, you know, all of a sudden these areas will go from tier 3 to tier 2. We might be in a position where more areas go into tier 3. I mean, it is just going to lockdown that these clubs kind of had got a bit of money from the games that had taken place. But obviously, a lot of clubs had already lost a lot of money from what had happened. So you're kind of in a losing position already. So to then be in another losing position so soon after, where financially, you know, it is getting to that point where there are clubs that are, you know, there's going to be some really difficult decisions that are going to have to be made. And I really do just feel for the clubs, because the amount of volunteers, the amount of fundraising, the amount of unique schemes that clubs have put forward, to then be in another position now where you're kind of averting from one financial disaster to another. And what the solution is, to me, I think people have said, well, what about, you know, some sort of different funding? But I think kind of DCMS have said, well, this is your solution. You know, you take the loan, kind of use it, and then do you go from one disaster to another? Do you kind of borrow today, pay it back tomorrow? Is that the mentality? Or do you go through this thing where you delay everything? You hope that those reclassifications happen. You know, you hope that obviously that this R rate goes down, the, you know, infection rate goes down, and then we start again in a few weeks' time. But you'd presume there won't be many areas that go in 2 weeks from tier three to tier one. And if it's tier two and this thing regarding clubhouses and facilities remains, that causes a lot of questions for clubs, because again, there are teams I know that their main source of income is their clubhouse. You know, it isn't getting people through the turnstile. It's through people going to the games and then buying, you know, basically buying themselves a meal and a drink and, you know, something after as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of questions and there isn't much time to get them answers in place.
No, there really isn't. Just to say, we're recording this obviously on Friday afternoon. So if you're listening to this podcast on Saturday, that meeting's taking place today with the Northern Premier League, the Isthmian and the Southern League, hopefully coming to some kind of consensus. And hopefully we can get things back underway. I mean, the best case scenario is either play behind closed doors and the money suddenly becomes a grant, and that supports step three and four over winter, or we go back to what we had before with limited crowds and limited catering. But what are the chances of that, do you think, at this stage, Thomas?
I mean, again, it's this whole thing that, you know, I think DCMS kind of, they've put their offer on the table. That's kind of, I think, to me, the wording of the press releases that was sent out was it was kind of a take it or leave it offer. So I wouldn't say that's the thing. And again, you know, the way the FA communicated last night, it appears that for Tier 3, obviously, it is behind closed doors. That is the option. So again, I don't know. You know, it's the simple answer. And again, it's this thing as well that in, you know, how many weeks' time bubbles are allowed for a few days over Christmas. What does that mean in terms of Boxing Day? What does that mean in terms of the games that could be taking place? Then would the restrictions that are in place that have been reduced and laxed for families also be relaxed in other areas, in other sectors? That's another question that would need answering. So I think it is kind of one of those where I'm glad I'm not having to answer these questions, because to be honest with you, I can't see a solution that pleases everybody. And in my opinion, I think it's going to be a delay. I think that has to be the way forward, unless there is a situation where DCMS go, do you know what? We've misjudged the funding situation. We will turn them into grants. But I, to be honest with you, I can't see that happening.
I mean, if you go for the Northern Premier League, you've got clubs, you know, across the Northwest, across Yorkshire, across the Northeast, in the Midlands. I mean, this is so many clubs, so many communities affected by this, and we just hope that it gets resolved. But Thomas, just before you go, Thomas, just a quick plug for your work and how people could keep abreast of what's going on in the world of non-league football over this very, very important weekend.
Yeah, well, if you want to be bored silly with stats and stuff, if you want to follow my Twitter, that's at Thomas Sweeney. But I have got to say, I'm trying to make best of it in terms of Twitter and stuff, because I mean, it is just incredible the amount of people that have kind of sent DMs and gone, what's happening? You know, and you're looking and thinking, wow, you know, just how many people are affected by this. But hopefully there will be some light at the end of the tunnel. But I don't think it'll be during 2020, I've got to be honest.
Hopefully there'll be some good news coming. Here's hoping. But the best place to go for that good news, Thomas Feeney's Twitter feed, that's for sure. Thomas, big thank you for joining us and walking us through what's been a very eventful 48 hours. And good luck this weekend covering it all.
Yeah, thank you.
Thomas Feeney there, non-league reporter from the other side of the Pennines, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. As we were saying there in that interview, the Northern Premier League, Southern League and Isthmian Leagues will be discussing, hopefully, a way forward with the FA on Saturday. And for a bit of a prelude to that, joining us now down the other end of the phone on Friday afternoon is Adrian Seddon, board member at FC United. Hello, Adrian, how are you?
Hiya, Ben. Very well, thanks.
So it's been a bit of a roller coaster week. The mood music at the start was all about 4,000 fans being allowed back into football matches. And then at the end of the week, we're talking about step three and below of non-league football being in a bit of a crisis, really, with no means of revenue coming in. So where are we at now? I know you're one board member at one club, but where do you feel we are at the moment?
Well, it's difficult because there's nothing confirmed. As you say, there's a meeting of the three Triton leagues tomorrow with the FA. I believe there was a meeting yesterday as well, and there wasn't enough information to make decisions. And I think the FA will presumably be going back to the government to try and get some more clarifications. And then we'll know a bit more tomorrow. So, what I say today might be completely out of date by tomorrow. That's the sort of life we're living at the moment. We're reacting, aren't we? This whole season's been one big reaction to events after another. We've not been able to plan ahead for anything. So the lockdown came out of the blue. There was a date low a month down the line where we thought we'll be out of lockdown and resume the season. And we're now within a week of that date, and suddenly we might not be resuming. So who knows? It's been an absolute nightmare trying to navigate it, really.
And for those people unaware of how a club at Step 3 works, during this second lockdown now, it's the same as the first. A blanket's been put on the club. All the staff have been furloughed and the players and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so we had the slightly unusual situation, probably compared to quite a few other clubs, that we were still in the FA Cup when lockdown hit. And the clubs from our level, so the grassroots clubs that were still in the FA Cup, and I think there was 14 of us, were given dispensation to carry on training. Lockdown came in on the Thursday and we had a match on the Saturday. So we had that situation where we played on for an extra few days, and we had one of the biggest occasions in the club's history, and we lost. And from the moment the final whistle went, we were back into lockdown with the rest of grassroots football. So it was a really strange feeling of going from that big high of a first round of the FA Cup live on television to that's it now. And I was fortunate enough to be at the game as a director, and everyone sort of said goodbye to each other, and hopefully we'll see each other in a month. Because during lockdown, I think we've got no choice but to furlough. We've got no money coming in. So both the playing staff and the office staff are furloughed. Under the furlough rules, players can't train as a group. Training's not allowed anyway under the lockdown. But as long as we're furloughed, the players can't train, can't get together as a sort of unit. So it's a very difficult situation where, the club's effectively ground to a halt.
And at this stage, that's where we find ourselves with this uncertainty. Do you feel like it had to be this way with regards to the level of communication? Because it feels like I said, the mood music's changed, but its level of communication hasn't been the best.
I don't think that's just restricted to football, though, is it? I mean, this we went into national lockdown, and it was very, very late on in the day that we found out what's happening. Once we come out of lockdown, this tier system, there's not been great communication about anything. Football-wise, no one's really explained anything to us. As I say, nothing's been confirmed yet anyway. We're hearing that there'll be no fans at grassroots football in tier three, but no one's actually come out and categorically said it. We're hearing, various measures. We're hearing that obviously at tier two, which is predominantly most of the clubs, are either tier three or tier two. But at tier two, there's not going to be any allowance to have food and drink on sale in the grounds unless it's a substantial meal. So all those sort of things, but no one's actually categorically come out and said these rules apply to grassroots. Equally, we've heard stories that, well, we know for a fact for the elite that those in tier two will be able to have up to 2,000 fans or 50% of their capacity. We're being told that although the restrictions will apply to grassroots, The sort of benefits, the carrot being dangled about higher crowds won't be applying to us, and that we're stuck at 600 fans for the remainder of the season regardless. But again, no one's come out and said that's definitely the case. That's just what we're picking up from the press, from various people who might be picking up from people they've spoken to. So we don't know, but I don't think that's just, exclusively for us in football. I think there's been a lot of society that have been left in limbo, whether you're a hairdresser, wondering whether or not you can reopen a salon, or a footballer, whether you can play or not. We're all in the same boat in that respect.
There's a hope that this meeting might be okay. We might find a path forward, and we might start this in the coming weeks. So we've got to remain hopeful, haven't we?
Do we? if what I don't understand is we were playing as grassroots, we were playing in front of 600 fans at our level before the lockdown. The reason for the lockdown was the infection rates. There's no evidence I've seen that attending grassroots football contributed to any rise in the infection rates. The infection rates are much lower now than they were a month ago when we went into lockdown. So we played that Warrington game with a full crowd of 600 just a few days before going into lockdown. We now can't play, even though the infection rate's lower. What's changed? Are the government now telling us it was unsafe to have fans in when we were playing Warrington? And if they're not saying that, well, why can't we have them in now? So, that's the bit we don't understand. But again, we're going to have to react. Personally, I think, I've spoken to been in communication with quite a lot of the chairmen in our league, and the clubs are pretty unanimous that we cannot afford to play closed doors without government support. We've had no evidence there's going to be any government support of any note. There is a banded figure of 14 million for steps 3 to 6 in government support, but the word coming out, and again, nothing's been confirmed, but the word coming out is it's going to be loans rather than grants. If that's the case, I think we're all pretty unanimous that we're not going to put our clubs into debt in order to finish a football season. If there's no revenue coming in, we can't take loans out on money we're not going to get back. So that probably isn't a goer. We would need some, if we're not going to have fans, and the object is to have fans, but if that's not allowed, then we need to have the same sort of government support as was offered to the National League. Why is our level of football any less deserving of financial help? There's teams from our area who have much lower crowds than us who are getting some government support, and that's grants, not loans. Why can't that be brought in for clubs at our level at steps 3, 4, 5 and 6? If we have to play closed doors, because it's not our intention to play closed doors, it's a government requirement at the moment. And if they're going to cut off our financial support that we can raise for ourselves, through our crowds, they've got to, replace it by some government support like they've done for the National League. They've set the precedence there. Why are we any different?
And the other problem, and we had Neil Young on earlier, the Marine manager, obviously talking about football, which is a rare thing on the NPL show nowadays. There's a potential backlog here occurring. He's got a plan for 33 games. How do we fit it all in?
Well, I think the plan is to play out a full season, but we're not far off the point where that won't be possible. I think the league had communicated, and it's been published in the London League paper, for instance, and so it's not giving out a big secret, but the league has published that they've got contingency plans. The step 3 and 4 leagues have come up together with some contingency plans for if lockdown is extended. And I think, certainly for the Northern Premier League, the talk from the league was that we could probably have about a 6-week lockdown and still play out a full season. That would probably involve the league being extended by a couple of weeks towards the end of May. And also probably the need, because there's going to be some bad weather as well. There's going to be some COVID delays as well, because players will get COVID and teams will be out for 2 weeks. So we can't assume that, once we get going again, that's it. We're going to have a full season. It's not going to happen. There's going to be postponed matches for various reasons. So there's going to be a need to probably play 3 games a week come the spring, which is not ideal when players are semi-pro and have got other jobs. But, there was a thought we could do it. But I think, if it goes on for more than about 6 weeks, this lockdown, then that doesn't become possible. And the league then are talking about splitting the league into 2 groups based on geographical position. And instead of playing every team in your league, you can have two mini leagues. You play each other home and away. That would require sort of 10 home games, 10 away games. The league are confident they can start right up until the end of January with that formula. If that isn't possible to start by the end of January, then we're probably, unfortunately, heading back into sort of null and void territory, which is what everyone wants to avoid. But, you know, there comes a point where there isn't any time to have a meaningful season.
And I'm trying to think of a way of ending the show on a bit of a high, but I don't think it's possible, is it? I should have finished the show with Neil Young's interview from Irene, but
I think from the NPL having you know a club in the second round of the FA Cup, yes, is a huge achievement, and then you know we're all going to be rooting for Marine to get an NPL club into the third round would be absolutely fantastic. And yeah, well, none of us are playing, so I suppose I remember saying in an interview before our Doncaster game that with the rest of grassroots into lockdown and only the few clubs left in, we felt like we were flying the flag for much more than just our own clubs on this occasion. We were really flying the flag, not just for our league, but for grassroots football. And obviously we fell at that hurdle, but Marine is still there. And there's two grassroots clubs left, and really they carry all our hopes into the second round. And much more than any other year, it's really important that those teams can hopefully get through to the third round.
No, great stuff. A final question, Adrian. Obviously, it's going to be league officials there tomorrow, but what's your message to the FA and the powers that be as we head into this vitally important weekend and hopefully a conclusion to this latest problem that's occurred thanks to COVID?
Yeah, I think that grassroots matters, you know, that grassroots clubs, you know, I listened to what the National League said before they got their funding. The reasons why they wanted funding was that the government had prevented them from having fans. And these were clubs at the heart of their communities. These weren't just 90 minutes on the pitch. These clubs were the bedrock of their communities, did a lot of work in their communities, had academies that relied on them. And I think the same applies for clubs lower down than the National League. We matter. You know, we're not EFL, we're not Premier League, we're not even National League, but we matter at steps 3, 4, 5 and 6. The precedence has been set. You know, if the government prevents fans from coming into the grounds, then they will provide some support for those clubs to carry on playing. Why can that precedence not be carried into our level? I mean, we want fans, don't get me wrong, and we don't understand why fans aren't allowed at the moment. There's less infection now than there was at the time that we had 600 in. But if you're going to stop us, then rather than just stop us and that's the end for us, stop us, but allow us to play with some financial support, because it does matter for clubs, and there's a real danger that if we have 2 years in a row of null and void, that the clubs will fold. But we've seen clubs fold already, not in the sort of numbers that we probably expected, but a second year makes it even worse. But also, you know, 2 years of not having any meaningful football, you know, we're going to lose supporters to this sport that will never come back, and we're going to have long-term implications. And it's been a very hard lockdown for the whole population, and football's an important release for people to go and you know, it's an activity that they can enjoy and look forward to. And there's a lot of people who have been saying that their mental health was really affected during the first lockdown, and football helped them come out of it. And we play a big part. We play a big part in our communities, and don't abandon us, is the message I would say.
Well, Adrian Seddon, board member of FC United, a big thank you for taking the time out your Friday to come on the show and walk us through the lie of the land from your perspective. And fingers crossed we get a positive outcome over the weekend.
Cheers, Ben.
Adrian Seddon there, board member of FC United, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. And that's it for this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. A big, big good luck to Marine on behalf of everyone associated with the Northern Premier League. I think I speak for everyone. We hope you win, and we look forward to that draw on Monday. A big thank you to Neil, Thomas and Adrian for joining me this week. Remember, for all the latest goings-on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. But I've been Ben, and you make sure that you all have a lovely and safe weekend, and you'll be hearing from us again next week. Bye-bye.